G'day, Pack. Danny here. I'm just plugging some things before the episode because Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on. I'm in a play. It starts on Tuesday. It's called Shakespeare Ghostbusters. It's a retelling of Ghostbusters as if it were a Shakespearean comedy. It's a lot of fun. If you're a fan of the film, you'll absolutely dig it. If you love Shakespeare, then good on you, you cultured person. You'll probably enjoy it as well. St. Martin's Theatre from Tuesday. Also doing a fundraiser for the Ukraine Crisis Appeal on the 20th of April. It's a Saturday afternoon. It's like at 4:45. Victoria Hotel, very big name comedians will be on. I'll be announcing them soon. So come on down. It doesn't clash with the Dogs game, so you got no excuse. Come down and enjoy the fun. Here's the episode.
I want attacking purposeful football all the time. Now we're gonna have backs against the wall and we're gonna fight, and we're gonna fight hard. You've got to show me all the guts and all the determination you've got in your body. You've got to inspire me.
A marvellous kick. That's as good as you'll ever see. And puts player back in front.
I don't know about you guys, but if I see one bloke walk out of here, give the pat on the back from people out there for a good effort, I'll spill up.
From inside the centre square, boys kick the goal. Boys kick the goal. From inside the centre square.
Hey, Pack, welcome to Danny Boyd. It's a podcast. You probably know that because you probably hit the podcast app on your phone. But just in case your finger slipped, it's a podcast about the greatest football club that anyone has ever thought of. That's the Footscray Football Club, Proprietary Limited. They trade as Western Bulldogs. I'm Danny McGinlay. Tom Boyd is with me.
I've never heard you use the word podcast so many times in such a short span of time, Danny. But it is also a podcast, I think, that is basically here to prelude to the fact that we're going to be 5-1.
You are full of optimism right now, which is fantastic. Let's give everyone a check-in before we get anywhere. You've been doing your day job all day, presenting to accountants.
Yeah, accountants, accounting firms, employees, and then either talking about them or doing reports that I will later present to them.
It's been
riveting today.
In case you think the life of an ex-footballer is glamorous, I've been living the showbiz life. I was in Adelaide last night for the Front Bar Gather Round episode. Flew back in this morning, straight back into rehearsals of this theatrical play I'm doing. So there's some dichotomy. You're going from talking to Malcolm Blight about how you'd change the game and having beers with the Jarman boys at 1 a.m. to getting back and talking about what do you think's motivating your character at this point of the scene?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think people understand how weird it is at times to switch between the different parts of the lives that we both lead. But like, I go from like talking about myself and my football career and my passions in the mental health space too. So here's where you can make more money by getting your team to perform better using these five different things. And also, I also in-depth understand the accounting data coming through. It's just a strange life that we lead.
It is very. And I wouldn't change it for anything.
Well, we also probably should throw into the mix that we do have to like parent our children.
Oh, there's that as well. And then you go in, you're watching Bluey. And
then we're supposed to socialise with people, which I suppose we get a bit of on this podcast. So then that's another personality. We've got five at least, down pat.
I think so. And no sleep at all for any of them. So.
Well, the sixth and seventh personality types may very well be what we're here to discuss today, which is the optimistic Bulldog fan that I have in me and the pessimistic one.
Yes.
Open with the optimistic.
Well, when you smash the Eagles by 12 goals.
Yeah, we didn't sort of fire a shot till late in the second quarter sort of thing, right? We're sort of, as I was tracking the scores there, it was sort of midway. Look, put it this way. Did I watch the whole Eagles game? No, I did not. Did I regret not watching the whole Eagles game? No, I did not.
Hey, dude, I was there and I didn't watch all of the Eagles game.
Yeah, exactly right. It's really hard for me to be convinced to go watch the Bulldogs play against the poor waffle side that's flown all the way across. Mate, like someone, I think Daniel Goring has got his new, I don't know what it is, but he's basically got Dan Does Footy because he always releases these funny videos.
Yes. The footy.
And he was basically saying, if you're a Eagles fan, it's, hang in there. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
Not in this decade, but eventually.
Do what I'd say to Eagles fans. I don't know why you listen to this pod. Welcome. Great to have you here. But also, you've had a bloody good run. You have won a flag every decade of your club's existence.
That is true. And once a decade is a great little taster just to keep you invested, keep a lot of supporters.
I think only West Coast and Hawthorn have done that.
They should probably just go to Subiaco and do like a ceremonial bonfire for the times that they've had there, seeing as the club's not going any good. Then you don't have to damage the new stadium for the frustrations that you have, you know?
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. Did you know they're changing the... They're getting rid of the song of West Coast. They're getting rid of the Birds of Tokyo remix, which they had in 2018, 2019.
Right.
And they won the flag.
And they're going back.
Now they're going back to the old version.
Where the Eagles.
It is the worst song. People always say, you know, Frio's the worst song.
Frio's not good, but yeah.
Gold Coast and West Coast have the two worst songs.
Yeah. It is, you know, there aren't a lot of good songs, but there's a couple.
Oh, as much as we paint to admit it as Bulldogs fans, but GWS and Richmond.
Yeah. Richmond's got the greatest line in.
Yes.
By far.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
But, we have you know when you were at the Bulldogs? Notice now we do a lot of the Sons of the West. Woo! Red, white, and blue. Woo! Was that there when you were there?
Yeah, that was Dale.
It was Dale House that did
that. That was Dale. I think he started all that.
But now all of it is.
Yeah, but there used to be like it used to be nice because it was just Dale who did it.
Yeah,
and then it was like now it's like to your point and the fact that, but obviously we're not doing a video recording this podcast. But Danny basically held his microphone like 11 feet away from him just to make sure that it didn't blow all of your eardrums.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like in the rooms. And it doesn't have that sort of manly victory chant to it anymore. It's kind of like a bunch of school kids going, we won, yay.
Yeah, I guess if you had to justify it, you could say that maybe we're, because it's high-pitched, it's so actual dogs can enjoy it.
Maybe, yeah, so high-pitched that only they can enjoy it. That'll be the next iteration. This is how stupid this podcast is, isn't it? Because we're in a good spot.
We're in a great spot.
We're in 2-1, but it's hardly the week to sit back and go, let's revel in our victory against the West Coast Twos, which was not exactly the most exciting game ever. But having said that, let's not be lacking gratitude.
Enjoy it.
We did win in a proper definitive fashion after a brilliant win the week before. And to the opening remarks that I made for the podcast, the only reason that I'm actually sitting here going, we might be 5-1, is because at least we followed up a good game against the Gold Coast with a really solid win against a obviously undermanned Eagles.
Yeah, and we've got the Cats Saturday night, depending on when you are listening to this. We're not playing Geelong at Cadinia Park.
This is like one of the, but it's probably our home game, and then we play them down there anyway, which I don't think we do, but can you imagine that?
Oh, no, we do play them.
We do play them down there?
Round 19, we're playing them down there. Yeah.
Oh.
So this is our home game.
This is actually salt to the wound. This is the game. Didn't we beat them where Harry Taylor missed a shot after the siren?
That was about 2018.
Yeah. I think I played in that game.
You did. Yeah, I've seen the footage.
So we've gone from having at least that in the memory banks to like, you know, if you win, it's going to be in a different state. And if you lose, which you have forever, except for last year in Cadinia Park.
Yep.
Then, you know, bad luck.
But it felt like a loss last year.
Yeah, it did a bit. Because that was us to make the finals, right?
Yeah, but then we needed Carlton to... And, you know, whenever you are going through the, if Carlton win and we get through, you know you're not lasting long in finals.
It's like when they look at the scenario modelling for who can make it and there's like six like rows to like what has to happen.
Yes.
You're like, okay. So pigs might fly. But also, I suppose it's a possibility if, you know, we win by 78 points and can't lose by 24. And then, you know, they put the numbers on for the percentage points now.
Yeah.
It is like, you know, it's probably all done by our great friend of the show, Chaz Licadello. He would be he's sitting there going, this is the mathematics. He's sitting there like Zach Galifianakis on The Hangover with all of the, you know, numbers and shapes.
See, there's a difference between you. I was thinking Anthony Green in the election coverage, and he's got the pressing the buttons and everything.
Well, I can't say that I've seen Rain Man, but I have seen the scene when they drop the matchsticks on the ground. And he's, that's like Chaz. He's like, okay, we drop all the results from round 22. Yep. And then he sees all the matchsticks and goes, this is what's going to happen next.
We should get Chaz on again soon. I saw a friend of the show, Will Anderson. Literally drove past him. He's in Melbourne doing the comedy festival. We'll just plug your show, Will. There you go.
Well, very good.
Drove past him. He was walking near the Bubble Dome, Amy Park.
Can I say that I saw a Bulldogs legend this morning?
Here
actually.
We go. Yes.
I was driving on my way to the city to go to the gym this morning, bright and early. And I looked to my left and I'm like, as I drove in, I'm like, there's no one else in the human race who has ever had a physique like that. And you'll know who I'm talking
about. Okay, hang on. So a physique like that.
During my career.
Okay. Oh, so this is a teammate of yours?
Yes, teammate of mine.
Physique like that. I don't know. Is it really skinny? Was it Bob Murphy?
No, tall. Very tall.
Very tall.
Famous last name.
Riley West. No, I don't know. What are you? This is baffling.
Tall.
I haven't had enough
famous
sleep.
Last name.
Jack Redpath. Oh, Matty Boyd. I don't know. What?
Cordy.
Oh, Ace Cordy.
Ace Cordy.
Wow.
There's not a single physique in the human race that's like Ace Cordy's.
Not even Zane.
No, Zane is actually much more put together because he's not 204 centimetres or whatever that Ace is like. Ace's photo will revel in human like excellence from his first day at the club when he turned up at 69 kilos and 204 centimetres or something. I may have undersold you by a few kilos there, Ace, but... yeah, I saw him this morning too, and I was like, I wonder what he's doing with himself these days.
I once hassled him on a tram because Zane had just played a really good game in about 2017, and then I saw Ace on the tram, and I thought it was Zane. And I'm like, why are you on the tram? Why are you catching the tram, oh man? You played so well today, and Ace is so lovely. He was just like, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, he would have laughed so hard about that too. He's got a terrific sense of humour, and he was playing. So in 2015, when Bevo basically came in, he's like, Ace, you can be a fullback. Do you remember that? He played fullback for like the first five rounds.
Okay.
And had like a few goals kicked on him. We didn't really have a fullback at that stage because we, you remember, like by the time that the defense was all together through 15, 16, like fullback was like Marcus Adams at times, yeah. But then he injured himself like 400
a
times.
Lot, yes.
And then it was basically just Dale Morris and Fletch who sort of traded in and out of there. So anyway, it was a throwback when I saw him. I hadn't seen him in ages, but there's so many, like, what would your most, what's your favourite not high-level Bulldogs player that you, from the last 10 years?
The last 10 years. Occasionally, I still wonder what Matty Robbins is up to these days. I think he might actually fall out of the 10-year window.
Yeah, he probably would now.
I mean, it's tainted by the premiership because all of those Bull gods are there. So who's a Bulldog I've not thought about in a while? And yeah, by the way, this is a fun game to play for everyone. Just send us obscure Bulldogs players.
Yeah, and whoever I played with, I'll let you know what happened.
We'll see what's happening with them. Oh, God, it's hard not to think of friends of the show.
Well, friend of the show, Shane Biggs is an obvious one.
Yes.
You know, he's not that he's not well-known. He's an absolute hero of the 2016 Premiership. But, you know, he's one of those interesting characters.
Brennan Stack. What's he up to?
I don't know. It was before my time.
Oh, okay. Cameron Faulkner.
your memory is all from like early 2000s.
It is. Man, this is what happens when you age. I know Danny Delray's driving trucks with his business.
About the 80s.
He's 1992. He's an absolute legend.
I think, you know, this might sound nostalgic, but what I will say is that even though we obviously had success with a few people during 2016, there's only 22 who can grace the field.
Yes.
Now, everyone who I played with at the Bulldogs, they do, like, everyone that you play with in a team in the lead up to a premiership contribute in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Because you need someone to talk to when it's absolutely rubbish and you're losing. You need someone to go out there and play a certain role or, you know, fill a certain position or deal with opposition or deal with the coach, like, whatever it is. Everyone has to contribute whilst they're there. And we do obviously forget even so many of the players that were in the squad that year in 2016. Like, there would be a dozen players. You'd be like, were they still playing then?
Will Minson.
Yeah.
Played one game. And was it played well, as I thought, you know, against the Swans.
No, he also played in round 23.
Oh, did he? Oh, the Freo game.
Yes, and he only played about 45% of the game.
You were injured and they said, get back out.
Yeah, that's a true story. That was, yeah, I don't think, like, Will by the end was just like at training, just running straight lines. That was it. He did no change of direction. He wasn't interested in that.
We used to always do the Simpsons. There's a Lionel Hutz who was the Simpsons lawyer who was terrible. But he had this line and we just attributed, Will Minson would say it about Bevo. It's like, oh, he's kind of had it in for me since I accidentally ran over his dog. You go, what do you mean? Well, replace the word accidentally with repeatedly and the word dog with son.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, there's just so many people that you've run into in footy circles along the way. And I tell you what, there is almost no more enigmatic percentage or percentile of society than AFL footballers over the years. They are some strange people.
Yeah, I think, I wonder if the statute of limitations has run out on this, or I don't think we've told this story on the pod, but there was a player who came in around 2016, when you were there, and no, I'm pretty sure we have told this story, but showed up and had still had a Richmond sticker on his car.
And wore Richmond shorts.
Wore Richmond shorts as well.
To training.
Training
to the club,
and so and then when was confronted about it, didn't take it well.
No, didn't take it well. No, and yeah, there's most of the story is, I think, just fine to tell. But let's just say he was a slow recoverer from a certain injury that happened because no one wanted to play with him,
right?
Which is extraordinary.
And according to rumor, tried to chat up Bubba Smith's daughter,
something like that.
According to, I mean, I'm sure this a lot of these stories could be attributed to five or six players, but when there's a scapegoat, do they all just get piled on onto the one player?
No,
when
this you is reminisce, it's all one person. All right, like. Yeah, I think we've definitely told it on the pod before about the game against Melbourne.
This is the practice game.
Practice game we've spoken about. So Luke Gertz played in that game.
Oh, we're naming him. Okay.
Well, it's Luke Gertz. Go back and watch the footage. He basically threw Colin Garland over the fence in the top pocket at Highgate and then
got
given a yellow card. Which
really?
I think he did. Or got reported.
Yeah.
What? But I think maybe in a practice game you could.
It was a practice game. What, they were trialing yellow cards, were they?
Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, maybe he just went off. Maybe they were just like, mate. Anyway, yeah, a fight started.
Yes.
And he ran off the, like he got to a good clip to get off the ground. It's like 120 metres away. And I was left to fight him and like three other, like I think Lyndon Dunn was still playing there. These guys were massive. And I'm like 20. What are you leaving me here for, mate?
Yeah, what do you do with it? What's the etiquette with a fight when you have to go off? Are you supposed to like tell the runner, just let me throw a few punches and I'll be with you in a sec?
Well, if you started something with a less than honourable act, you don't get to run away. Like that is like, you know, if there's like coach killers, that's like a teammate killer.
Yeah, okay. What else would be listed in that? Teammate killer sort of thing.
Oh, I've read about one in my book where someone like abused another player for like taking a mark and not giving a handball whilst they were lining up for goal in their fourth ever game. But
oh, wow.
That was me.
Yeah. Why did you abuse that player?
No, they abused
me. I know.
Like that, I think there's certainly ones. Oh, he's the perfect one. Not coming off the ground when you're supposed to.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Jack McCrae. King of that. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear the runner that was like screaming in my ear. And what happens is like when we were doing high rotations of the Dogs, it'd be like 6 or 7 minutes at a time. And you basically go like, say if you're a half forward midfield off. So you'd go into the midfield, come off.
But oh, okay, yeah.
Because we were rotating so many people through the middle, but then, you know, the best midfielders who want to rack up the most exposure, they don't want to play half forward. So they go... You know, they go midfield,
yep,
9 minutes, 10 minutes. Then they go forward, 3, off, 2. Then after 2 minutes, like if you watch Jacko would be screaming at people to come off after like he'd been on the beds for 90 seconds because it takes time to get them off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, if you wait till 7, then you won't get on till 10.
And how are you supposed to monitor this? Is there a runner like with a stopwatch or are you looking up at the clock?
No, well, so there's two ways they do it. So one, there's the clock, which they basically say, hey guys, so say someone gets injured in a rotation, so they blend two rotations together.
Right.
So say instead of there being two lots of three, there's 5 in one. They'll be like, guys, we're doing quick rotations, there's only 5 of you and 4 of you will be on the ground at any one time. It's 4-minute turns, so it's 4-8. And then they'll tell each person who's
right.
Top.
Okay.
By the end of the quarter, that blows out, obviously. So the first interchange should be on the dot because you got no excuse.
Yeah.
You know, which never was. And then so on and so forth. And eventually, like, you don't want to be in like the fourth rotation because the fourth rotation might mean you come back on at 25, which means you only play 2 minutes.
Right.
And at the end of the day, no one gives a shit if you don't play enough. They care if you've got enough disposals and have enough impact.
Right. No one's looking at time spent on ground and the ratio of all of that.
No.
That's so unfair.
Yeah. So that's definitely a teammate killer. Obviously, like the typical ones of having shots when you shouldn't and all that sort of shit.
Yeah. But And when do you know whether you should take the shot or not? Because, you know, you can miss easy ones. You can actually get some hard ones.
It's really easy. If you kick the goal, you should have taken the shot.
Right. So it is that basic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as in, like, I remember talking to Gia about this in my first year, and I was like, Jake Stringer doesn't handball, and I'm open. Or he doesn't pass. And he goes, yeah, Tom, I get it. But he's kicked 30 for the year already. what a time. Like, and, you know, here's the other – and this happened with Jake a couple of times. That's why it popped into my head. Here's the other one, playing on from free kicks that are close to goal.
Right, yeah.
Jake did it to me twice in one game from, like, 4 metres out. And I was like, what? Because no one remembers in round six that I should have had two extra goals.
Yeah.
They check the stat sheet and I had three instead of five. And they're like, oh, so he's only kicking on half a goal a game. And you're like, mate, I earned him.
So you've earned you've drawn the free kick. You've done a great tackle or been taken, or probably you weren't taken high unless Godzilla was playing against you. But,
yeah, a few in a marking.
And contest. Then he just grabs the ball and runs. And they go, go on.
Yeah, good on you. Harsh. Yeah, good work. And then they, and here's them, mate. Boils my blood.
Here we go.
Then they come around after they steal your goal and they run straight towards you and make sure they like give you a massive rap like, great, well, your goal, mate. I'm like, I know it's my fucking goal. You stole it. It's a telltale sign of all good forwards. Like, you know, like Cody and these guys who are forwards, they don't handball.
Right. Good to know. This is what we're all going to look out for when we're smashing the Cats by 10 goals on Saturday night.
That's right.
So what? Okay, and the other what else? The other news we have to talk about.
Well, there's the most important news of the week, which I feel like they're basically. Should we go into the conspiracy land?
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, we've been doing this a bit on the Patreon. So if you want to hear some deep dives, tinfoil hat corner, where we are going to get the 2021 premiership handed back to us, make sure only $5 a month.
Yeah, $5 a month to live in fantasy. And look, everyone that's come on board has stayed.
Yeah, it's a great family in there. We're all chatting to each other, even though the Patreon app is not ideal, but we're having fun over there.
There is a special connection that we have with our patrons when we lock eyes with them when we're at the footy that one or two times a year, at least for me. And then they're like, yeah, we know you. We know you're part of the Danny Boyd.
There's a secret handshake.
Well, let me go into conspiracy plaza, if you will. Maybe not conspiracy land. It's not that big of a conspiracy, but conspiracy plaza.
There's a Coles, there's a Bylo.
Bylo's so high. That thing was an absolute dump. Like, I remember, like, we have a joke in our family from 2001 about not buying Bylo steaks ever again because our jaws ended up looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anyway, I digress. We have had some great news this week.
We have. The Bulldogs family.
Re-signed.
Yes. Tom Liberatore. Yes. Ever since he came on front bar, and I said to him backstage, I said, hey, Tom, maybe re-sign another year.
Yeah, yeah.
He went, yeah, good idea, Danny.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everyone.
Here's my conspiracy. I think that the Bulldogs PR team want to have an ace in the hole.
Okay.
They want to be able to come out with a fantastic good news story to keep the fans happy once a year, every year forever.
Right, and so is this why Liber only gets the 1 year
contract?
That's
what I think.
I like that.
There's something to that.
All right, do you think he's actually got a 5 year deal, but we're just going to
pretend? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, nice.
And also, let me ask you this question. Why is it that it always takes a little bit of time to sign? They leak the news.
Yeah.
Liber due to sign. And then like three or 4 weeks go by, like it has this year, and then they go, Premiership Bulldog re-signs for another 12 months.
Let me poke holes in your conspiracy theory. Wouldn't it be better to be announcing this stuff after a loss?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is it's not about winning or losing. It's about the best time to play the ace.
Right.
Which is,
and why is this time?
Because our membership's down. We've just won two on the trot.
Yeah.
We're looking like we might win this week.
Membership's down. What are you talking about? We've been hitting 50K faster than ever before.
Whatever. Well, no one's turned up to the footy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It was definitely attendance is down.
It was actually just me and Chris Hemsworth.
I've had more emails from the Bulldogs this year than I think I've had since I played there. So you run it now. You're going into Gather Round. They're trying to make all the Bulldogs fans feel better because another home game's disappeared.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, what they do is they're like, oh, we had a shit start to the year. Let's wait till it's really shit. and then, you know, the coach is under the gun and in the gun and all that sort of stuff, then we'll run it then and be like, don't worry, Liberty signs. Like, you can't tell. Why are they waiting?
I don't know. Well, it's weird.
I know that who this his is- manager is. It's not that hard, mate. It's like, it's like a 15-minute conversation. Hey, what do you reckon? This much? Nah, maybe a little bit more. Okay, deal. That's it. It's there 1 year. There's no risk. What are you talking about? What are they doing? Waiting to see. He's like, yeah, well, if he does his knee in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Like, well, what, then, there's no reason to wait.
All right. Oh, no, I've got a reason to wait. And it's this is another thing we do on the Patreon, chronic optimism. Okay. The reason we announced Libba, after round three or round two, whenever it was, after round three, we've got some bigger announcements coming.
Really?
And this is the, well, surely we say Jamara staying, and then we say English is staying.
Oh, Jamara, probably going to re-sign. Definitely going to re-sign. Maybe two, maybe four, maybe none.
Exactly. Tom Morris said he it was definitely going to happen.
How do you get to leak that and then nothing happened?
I know. We really do need the footy journalism Nuremberg trials.
Yeah. I think that you should have to go through like a vetting process for like bits of information like that.
Yeah.
There should be journalism, top 5%, which is like our fans' hearts and minds are connected to this outcome.
Yep.
You should have to stand behind it.
Yes.
And if not, you get 10 whacks on the wrist.
Well, no, if he doesn't play, Tom Morris has to train with the Bulldogs, with Bevo running the drills, wearing Jamara's jumper.
Can you imagine Bevo's affinity for Tom Morris? He can't. It wouldn't be high.
No, it would not.
I don't think he likes any of them, to be honest.
No, and we talk about this on the Patreon, Footy Media Watch. That's the TV show that we want to pitch. If any of you listeners are TV producers who could do a bulk of the work for us, because Boydie and I, as we said, we've got so many other jobs, but we want to make this. Hey, you'd watch that, wouldn't you? Footy Media Watch. You get Paul Barry type person, someone smarmy, to be going, well, it seems the Murdoch media have been leaking the misinformation. Oh dear.
Well, I did have a bit of a laugh because I was looking on LinkedIn the other day and SEN had just released this post going, oh, all of the new snaps from our new digital strategy.
Oh.
Which is where like all the commentators and special comments guys get filmed when they talk in the boxes. Oh, I'm like, God.
Who's watching
these
that?
These are horrible camera angles. You're in a box. It's like no one thinks radio box at the G, spacious and comfortable.
Yes.
They think tight and uncomfortable with like weird levels where everyone like sits on top of each other.
It's like Tim English trying to fit in a lift.
Yeah, or Tim English trying to fit in a car,
yeah,
if you will,
a mini minor.
With me and Tom Campbell and Jordan Ruffett. Like I just, and you know, it pains me because you've just brought up the greatest. Here's my other personality, my pessimistic Bulldogs fan.
Oh, no, what?
I'm getting less confident every day that goes by on Tim English.
Oh, really? No, they're saving him. You get Libba was just the little taster, and now they're gonna serve it up to us. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how these things work. You're experienced with them. You've signed big deals. You've left clubs. So when should we be hearing by?
Well, let me ask this question, right? And I've been in this situation, but I haven't been in the situation where Tim is like today. I've been into it when he say at the end of the year.
Okay.
Not the same, but similar. What benefit does Tim get from waiting till the end of the year? If he's going to stay.
Yeah, if he's going to stay. Well, then he gets to do a LeBron-style special on YouTube streaming. I mean, Channel 7 probably aren't going to do it for a Bulldogs player, but if it was a Collingwood player, and it's just called The Decision. And then he talked, you know, there's 20 minutes of preamble, and then he goes,
Have you met Tim?
Once.
Not a huge, like, lover of public speaking, yeah, fair enough, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't say this was going to happen. I'm just saying that's what he could do.
So I feel like that's a hop, skip and a jump away from reality.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't strike me that there's any benefit to him personally if he's adamant on staying at the Dogs to not sign soon.
Yeah.
Because, like, what are they going to say, right? So Tim goes to the negotiation tables. G'day, Tim. G'day, mate. G'day, Bevo. Whoever's doing these.
Kylie.
Sam.
We're all there.
What do you want? I want $1 million a year for 10 years.
Okay.
Okay, we can't do $1 million. Okay, great. I can get 1.3 somewhere else.
Yep.
The end of the conversation.
And that's it.
Well, what are they going to say? They're going to have to say yes to what he wants.
Yeah.
Which will be really high, which he's deserved. And he's also, you know, from a market value point of view, definitely deserves, because there's only so many good ruckmen.
He played very well on Sunday in a way that sort of looked like he was trying to impress the Eagles, which I wasn't happy with.
Like, I just don't understand, when you walk into that negotiating room, if you don't say yes to Tim, you're not going to wear him down. He's got every ace up his sleeve that he could possibly need.
And he's got big sleeves too.
And he's got big sleeves, which include probably 6 to 7 clubs who are willing to spend 7 figures a year on him.
Yeah.
So is the only reason he would wait in that logic is, does he believe, or when he finally gets to the point where he believes that the Bulldogs are the place to play for the next?
So how do we do that? How do we keep Tim English there? Do we obviously, I mean, we've renovated the place. We've made the ceilings higher, so we'll be more comfortable.
That's good.
Doesn't have to stoop as much.
Yep. True.
I don't know what else we can do.
So, like, I don't know anything on the, like, personal. Like, we don't know what he thinks of Bevo. We don't know, like, we don't know any of that stuff. Because that's a big factor.
Yeah, it would be.
Right? Because the one person in your life besides your wife who can control everything and completely fuck it or improve it is your head, is your head coach.
Yes.
Right? So, I don't know that bit. On the, like, trajectory of the club, I would presume that he would expect the club to play finals this year, would be my guess.
We all do, yes.
And agreed, and we should. But if you were Tim, right, and you're looking at the club at the moment, and maybe I'm being hypocritical, but if I was looking at the club and I'm going, I'm a ruckman, I need support for my midfielders. Mm-hmm. Bont's 29 this year.
Yeah.
Lib is 33.
31, I think. Only 31.
30, no, he must be 32 this year then.
Okay.
That makes sense, because he's 3 years older than me. No, he'd be 30. Yeah, 32 this year.
Yeah.
Chalor's the same.
Yep.
And who else is going to, like, you know, the three starting midfielders from every game this year are that age.
Yeah. But we got Riley Sanders coming in.
Yeah, of course. But Tim's also, he's 20, would he be 26, 25? He's like, this is the only contract that matters in his entire career. Yeah, like, every other one does, don't get me wrong, but this is the one. So you're going to basically sign up to give your life away for the next 10 years. Where do you want to do it?
Obviously, I want to do it at West Footscray.
Yeah, so do I.
So come on, Tim.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
Be like us.
Does it make sense what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I do get it. And you're giving me fear, which I don't like. But so what should we be looking for as fans? What are the clues that things are going good or bad? Is he just him holding out is a bad thing?
No. I mean, I think it's a reality thing. I mean, again, I am not in Tim's head. I'm just saying, like, the way I think about it as an ex-footballer, which is definitely different to what I would have thought about when I was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we don't want to see is any tension between Luke and him.
Yes.
Because that will happen at some stage where the coach will be like, I'm sick of answering bloody questions. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, do I need to start planning for the future or not? Like, it was mentioned in the article today about Rory Lobb is going to play for the next, like, 7 years.
Now, yeah,
because he didn't play much footy as a junior. And I'm like, how does that help us with the Tim problem? He doesn't ruck. He's playing. He plays forward, does he?
Well, he's got those lovely bedazzled boots now that were all over social media.
I haven't seen these, admittedly.
There was a lot of talk in the front bar writers.
Can I venture a guess?
Go for it.
I would suggest that Rory paid the price for that at the Bulldogs with his teammates.
Having bedazzled boots or just the video existing?
Yeah, all of it.
Fines. A lot of people. Oh, right. Yeah, how much? This is fines with it.
I don't know what I don't know if they've adjusted for inflation in there, but it used to be like 25 or 50 bucks. Or
yeah, okay.
If you have a violation like that. But having said that, once you have a violation to this level, you'd be hard pressed to not have the.
So for those who don't know,
watching you over.
Rory's fiance put up some, I would call them comedy videos of, like, she bedazzled his footy boots. There was some lip syncing of songs. There was one of his match day routine, which involves him carrying around a dog for 20 minutes. They were all pretty tongue in cheek. They were a bit of fun. They were all good. A few people took him seriously. Like, she's trying to be a TikTok star and this is him transforming into an influencer. I don't think that's the case. I thought they were jokes. They were fun. The only thing that made me worried was how his fiance held her pen when she was writing him the love letter. That pen, she was like the two-handed grip. That pen needed a safety word. That was being strangled.
Yeah. We needed a bit of extra sort of rubber around it just to make sure that it was okay.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I haven't seen this, so I can just tell you from experience that partners' Instagrams or AFL partners' Instagrams are closely watched by the Toby McLeans of the world.
Oh, really?
Who granted themselves access as the Dice Master back in the day.
Here. Oh, okay. Right. Not just a sleazy, check out Biggsy's missus.
No. Definitely not like that. Definitely not. Much more like, you know, yeah, the detective that is needed to, you know, keep an eye on all things.
Okay.
Players and partners and social media and all that sort of stuff. But to the point that I was brought Rory up for, like, I literally just read an article where Bevo was talking about Rory taking his time coming back into the side and how he's not worried about him. Like, Rory's 31. Two?
Yeah, I think so.
And he said something about, like, he's like, oh, he hasn't played much footy when he was a teenager, so he's going to have a long career.
Yeah, he said 6 more seasons.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Is this another joke?
Do we, like, if you don't play footy as a teenager, do you anti-age?
Does that mean if I start playing now, I mean, I've not played since I was, like, 15. If I played now as a 41-year-old, I've got, like, you know, 26 years.
I barely played at all in my top age year. Am I 28 this year?
I think so. I think what this means is me and Boydie are going to play this week.
Basically. I mean, the logic stands the test of time.
And speaking of Bevo at training, he was also having to answer questions. We were having shots at goal blindfolded.
Oh, yes.
Now, I like this. I think this is whatever it takes to get us to kick accurately,
yeah,
would be bloody good. I mean, how were we on the weekend? I think we were actually pretty decent.
Well, you said to me, like, to be clear to all our listeners, when Danny said to me, oh, they've been training blindfolded, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous. And then, of course, it's just shooting for goal blindfolded. So what is the purpose behind this? If anyone's watched any basketball, you'll watch them do closed eyes, free throws and those types of things.
But I thought they were just trick shots.
No, they're not trick shots. It's more like if you're practicing a skill that is purely repeatable. Like, think about like a golf swing, like a free throw shot or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the only equivalent that we have of that in football is essentially the set shot.
Yeah.
So you hypothetically shouldn't need to look. You should be able to feel the motion of you kicking for goal.
Well, we kick 16-10, so we are getting pretty accurate.
Well, I didn't watch, but we might have run a few in there to the goal square.
Yeah, that's true. But we were accurate against Gold Coast, and against the D's, we were 9-10. So, look, hey, whenever we kick straight, we win. So I can see that's good that we're working on this.
Whenever we kick more points than the opposition, we win. Spoken like a true footy commentator.
Oh, mate. And what's the other one? When the Bulldogs get to 100 before their opponents, yeah, they always win. It's like, yeah, because we
got... Yeah, like, it's like, yeah, when the Bulldogs get to 100 they win. Yeah, but the average score for the year is like 80.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you.
When we get to 200 first, we always win.
Well, absolutely.
That one time we did it against St Kilda in 1978.
But in all seriousness, if we're going to move away from the sort of just completely miserable experience of talking about one TE, we're actually in a pretty good spot now.
Hey, rising star. Harvey Gallagher.
No, I didn't know who that was.
I
never knew he was a player.
He flew under the radar because we're all looking at Riley Sanders and his lovely black boots.
Oh,
and
there's Harvey Gallagher. Socks.
Getting some. I think he got a goal in definitely against the Demons. He got one against the Eagles. This is great. It's a bonus. Mate,
I was like, is this the VFL rising star? Like, what's his name? Harvey?
Harvey Gallagher.
Harvey, you won't listen to this. But if you do, please know that I'm not a miserable ex-player potting you. I don't pay that much attention until players play in the first these days just because I'm busy, like Danny has said.
Yes.
But congratulations as a fellow rising star nominee.
Yes.
In round something, 8 or something. I can't remember. It was the night that my wife started talking to me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we connected beyond it. I shouldn't say that we just connected over that game. Just say I shot my shot beforehand and it was rejected until
the rising star.
Until I kicked four against Brisbane.
There we go. That's nice.
It's also not that true. So
stop ruining everything.
It certainly was a part of the journey. But yeah, we are actually, in all seriousness, in a pretty good spot. We should win this weekend.
You reckon? We never beat Geelong.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Actually, let me say this. If there was a game that matters for the year, I know we said this about Gold Coast.
Yeah.
This feels like another one of those Damien Barrett sliding doors games to me.
If the Bulldogs can beat Geelong, then that's good.
Then Bevo will last at the end of the year. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. Like,
Damien wouldn't, but I think we should probably say that.
Damien would be like, oh, I can't. I'm going to get him.
Oh, yeah. They properly hate each other, those two.
Oh, I see him around here all the time, actually.
Really? Barrett lives around your southern suburb?
Yeah, he does somewhere. I don't know.
And he's probably just hanging out because all the AFL players live around here.
Yeah. So
he's just on the beat.
Just the truffle pig.
Truffle pig, looking for stories.
I think we're actually, like, genuinely this game does feel much, much bigger than
all right,
than
we beat Geelong, Bevo's in for the year. I think that's probably a fair...
And it's a 7:50 game on Saturday night, is that correct?
We're at 10 past 8.
Oh, even Melbourne times.
Yep.
Oh, I do work with a few... I was speaking to people from Adelaide today, so I'm, you know, pretty...
I was there, mate. So, Gather Round looks awesome. I'm sure someone's listening to this there in Adelaide. They're putting up all these installations.
Activations,
fan zones. It looks fun. I wish it wasn't on during Comedy Festival.
I'm pretty sure this is the day that Craig Kelly makes all his money.
Oh, really?
Because this is TLA. This is like their big week, I think, when they do all the activations for AFL Victoria and AFL. Anyway, tips, mate. We're getting to the end. It is late in the evening. It's past 6 o'clock as we record this on Thursday evening.
Yes. Tips. I think we'll. We like to be optimistic. So yeah, I reckon we'll win.
It is game 350 this weekend for Hawke, isn't it?
No. That was he did just that gone? on Monday. Yeah. Oh, that's why I'm feeling optimistic. They played Hawthorn. That's always a physical encounter. Dangerfield's not playing.
Yes.
So we're gonna. Yeah, we should have a bit of a physical advantage over them. We'll have an extra day break. I think we usually play okay at Adelaide Oval. We haven't been thumped there for a long time.
Yeah, we've had some really good wins over there,
actually. Yeah. So I'm feeling like we can do it. I reckon Jamara's due to kick a bag. I reckon we'll get 4 goals from Jamara. And the question I have for you, Tom Boyd, who's getting 2 Brownlow votes?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. Becoming a staple segment of the show, as I would say, is my follow-up question after I answer this. I think Jamara getting 2 votes makes a lot of sense.
Okay, sweet.
I think he's due, and I think that Aaron's probably a bit due as well. Against a good side, I mean, just like let's have a good game for those two together, I think is a real optimistic
shootout
thing to think about.
Between them.
And what was your tip? You didn't say?
I think we'll win.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we should always do 2 tips each. And the first tip is, what do you think? And the second one was, if you had to bet your house.
Ah.
Because I think that puts it into context.
Okay.
So I think, do I think we'll win? I think if we win, it'll be close. I don't think we're going to blow them out of the water, to my perspective. I watched a little bit of Geelong play this year. And, you know, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're missing about 6 players.
They're reigning premiers.
Yeah.
So... They're decent. They've been too old since, you know, 2003.
They were also... who played in the grand final last year? Collingwood and Brisbane. The year before, that was, it was...
Geelong, Sydney.
It was Sydney and that was it, wasn't it?
No, it was just Geelong.
Just Geelong,
yeah. Sydney didn't show up.
Geelong walked out there and ran all over those poor swans,
yep.
Poor creatures. So I think we'll win close. I'm not confident to say it. I'd think like 11 points.
All right. And where do you bet in your house on?
Oh.
Gamble responsibly, by the way.
Yeah. Don't bet houses. If you get a bookie that'll take it, I'll be confused.
My landlord would be pissed off.
I think if I had to bet my house, I don't think they're going to beat us by a lot. So I'd say maybe we lose by 5 points.
I think if I'm betting my house, I'm then you go Geelong just because they always beat us.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I lose my house, at least the Bulldogs won.
That's a bet. That's called hedging.
I'd say they'll beat us by 3-4 goals.
Yeah, okay.
But we don't want to be negative.
No,
that's just us not wanting to lose our houses.
No, maybe we should have done the houses first next time. What about your 2 Brownlow votes?
We've been doing this pod for 4 years. We're still working out how to broadcast. What are my Brownlow medal votes?
Yeah, your two votes.
Two votes.
So the reason we do 2 votes is because Bond's going to get 3.
Yeah, it's just locked in. 2 Brownlow votes will go to T. Liberatore, having just signed a new contract. He's going to be up and about. And 1 Brownlow vote will go to J. Ugel-Hagen for his 6 goal haul.
And he possibly will re-sign for between 6 months and 8 years.
I genuinely thought you were going to say he'll re-sign somewhere between the third and fourth quarter.
Yes, that'd be good. That'd be good after he kicks his fourth.
Wouldn't that be great? Imagine Geelong come out and they smash us by 10 goals at quarter time.
They get the fan engagement person from the Bulldogs. They're like, so Jamara, what do we need to do in the second half? Well, good news, I've re-signed. So hopefully the boys get up for me.
Do you know what's great? I noticed on Sunday, and for those who were at the ground, the game, you would have seen this. Our ground announcer, and I don't know her name, but she does a brilliant job. She's pregnant and quite heavily pregnant.
All right.
I reckon it looks great. It just looks very Bulldogs. See this young lady, and she's preggers and interviewing people. It's she needs. Okay, you've got too many teeth. It's just if you want to have the whole Bogan sort of Western Summit. Do you know? Last night I was in Adelaide for the Gather Round front bar. I was chatting to some of the Port Adelaide cheer squad, who are lovely people, good fun. They
cheer squads are lovely people.
They are.
I'm not moving into the same house.
I wouldn't hang out with them, but I'm happy to chat to them. They said they quite like the Bulldogs because we're all working class and all that. Yeah. They said they had a banner that got confiscated, but I reckon our cheer squad should do it as well. It's just, we're going to steal your car.
Well, what was the one that you had for their first... The first game we played against West Coast, my first game.
Your first game, which was 9 years ago today, by the way. Oh, really?
Is this the Tom Boyd? You think Tom Boyd's expensive one?
If you thought Tom Boyd cost the earth, try buying a coffee in Perth.
I think that's a great place, Dan. And this is, once again, the never-ending perpetual petition to get Danny back on the bat.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Kylie, Madam President, I'm sure you're listening. Thanks for listening to a bit of a relaxed episode. We're waiting to get a bunch of guests from the club, but in the meantime, just with our ridiculous life schedules, we're just happy to chat and, you know, we're not at panic stations yet. We don't need to analyse.
And we're not going to sit here and tell you that the game against West Coast on Easter Sunday was worth reliving.
Yeah, absolutely. It didn't tell us that much about us. We still don't know if we're good. I found myself cheering for the Demons, which feels so wrong, but if they're really good and we that explains why we lost to them.
Yeah, in round that's a good one. Point. That basically means we're undefeated.
Yeah, we pretty much are. Yeah.
That's right. We should give us the 21 premiership.
Yeah. Enjoy Gather Round if you're over there. If not, watch it on TV and hope your team wins.
I gave my childhood to that roll of the red, white and blue sea, and the knowledge that you had to love the Bulldog boys and me. 20 years on, I feel that longing hanging in September air. But the reason I go every week is to pretend you're still there. And they will find the glory one day, and I will throw it at your feet. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the dogs of Footscray Street. Long, long road they're running for you, the dogs of Footscray Streets.